references. I guess you could say is a gift, but, you know, from the Human Relations Commission. But we haven't done that in a while. So that's what that is. And so subsection B, strategic planning. As of right now, I was going to say, let's see. So, well, it's just a strategic planning priority items to focus on as a commission. And we also had been discussing at one point housing and rental rates. I don't have any update as to that currently. Of course, we could look into it again into the future. Cedric, I don't know if you've heard of anything lately or if you have any updates. It doesn't have to be specifically about this. I just don't know if you've heard any updates regarding housing or rental rates since the last time when we had those huge spikes that were.
Yeah, I have not. I haven't, not dealing with rent. I just read an article about something else a couple weeks ago about the number of job cuts in Arizona and Tucson and stuff, but not dealing with rent, no.
Okay. Let's see. Well, under strategic planning, there is obviously, you know, variety of things that we can talk about that would extend to the future meetings as well. And traditionally, this section has been for what was used to be our subcommittees, but I know that in the last few meetings, they did mention that they weren't either up to date or something like that. So as part of a strategic plan, if you will, I think we should, I'll put it under future agenda items in a second. To have that done at some point so we can re-solidify some of these committees or change some of the names, make them more current. Subsection C, diversity report. You know, that one's been a while too because it's,
Yeah. So what I was doing was I was reaching out, you know, trying to get data, concerning, Tucson. I think, you know, dealing with the wealth and real estate and stuff like that, I did find out that they really don't narrow it down too much like the feds do, right? Like, you know, so I will have to reach out. I don't think they get to the county. They get mainly, you know, overall, maybe to the city, but I forget. I got to follow back up on that. But I did find out that it didn't really get into the weeds on kind of what we were looking for at the time. But it's been a while, so maybe I can re-engage and see what I can gather. I did get some data, but I just felt like it really didn't dive deep enough. But regardless, I'll give it another go for sure.
And I know the last report that we have, which I kind of obtained but didn't have any, like, thing to really do with. I was kind of doing research on it. And then at one point we did have a report and just no one knew where it was, but it was with, at the time, council member Ulick not in her filling of the term that happened within the last few years, but during her original last term, if that makes sense, a while back. I'm going to see if I can find that. I may even have a digital forward it to each other and chat about what we can do moving into the future with the diversity report, because that would be important in terms of, you know, yeah. Traditionally it was the police and fire.
Yep, I remember that one. I remember that one, yeah.
But we can discuss that in the next meeting. Now that we are at least meeting that way, we can at least refresh our memories on what this stuff is and then come back on the next one and actually have details and all that kind of stuff. We can just work together to find that. D, human rights standards and procurement. That can be also a discussion that we can talk about it right now, but again, into the future meetings, we can get more in depth because again, I have, some information and we can redistribute it, I guess you could say, so we can have an idea of what that is. I've been around enough for that one to be from its inception, from that idea, and the idea was to have human rights standards in procurement procedures. So, for example, I think at one point it started with one of the contracts that the city did for security, and it wasn't necessarily any violations within the city, but it's had a history of violations in places that, like, for example, you know, Florida, and they're an international security firm that did security in Israel, and even Israel had charged the company with human rights violations in Israel, and the state of Florida did the same thing. So, like, there was very questionable as to their ethics, I guess you could say, and the idea was to have some sort of review process within the procurement section that would involve the checking for, like, human rights or civil rights violations, and if there was, for them to provide, like, an explanation, whether it was this company or any company doing business with the city, this would be following suit with what other cities, such as, I believe, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, some of these other progressive cities have done in the past to ensure that they're doing business with good companies, I guess you could say. And so there was extensive research. Some of it had certain council member support. I know there was a little pushback from council member Kozacek. But again, at the time, I believe the wording was very intense and very detailed, though, as well. But there, I believe the goal was to start at that point and kind of have that way we could get a gauge on where council stood on it. And so it seemed like overall there was support for it. It was just more or less bringing in some of those rules to more reasonable standards, of course. But we can, again, go into that into a future meeting and, you know, have some of those documents redistributed or distributed again since the makeup of the commissions changed over time. Moving on to section 8, action regarding the 2020 census undercounts. So I kind of remember what that was. And I don't know, Cedric, if you had looked anything into that. I do recall there being something about trying to recognize the...
I'm trying to think. I can't remember, John, to be honest with you. I'm trying to recall what we discussed with that.
Right. I know that was an issue at that time because they were just coming out with that information.
Right, right.
I don't know if that's something we would want to continue to take on. Again, we can look at it and then adjust the future agenda for whether we think something that's current. But I knew it was, like, current to that time, and it may have kind of just surpassed its, its relevancy.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, yeah. Because it's been a while. I can't recall exactly what we were doing.
Right. And then 9, Immigrant Welcoming City and Refugee Advocacy. That we've kind of left on there for a very long time. Through previous years and meetings, whether we had reports or not, just because it would become relevant at some points. Some points it didn't. So then we added Refugee Advocacy. And I think close to that time that our last meeting occurred, full meeting, was when there's a variety of refugees coming into the city regarding not just you know, migrants moving north, but also, I believe the, I don't know if the situation in Ukraine was occurring, but I know there was migrants from the Middle East that were being accepted into Tucson. And, you know, we were debating, or contemplating, you know, taking advantage of the immigrant welcoming city.
Yeah. I thought we voted on that, didn't we?
I believe we voted on something related to that.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly what it was. Yeah. But, you know, I think there was discussion surrounding it, but we also wanted to keep it on there with updates regarding, situations regarding being an immigrant welcoming city and, refugee issues or advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we could keep that one on there for now and take a look at what the situation is currently.
Hey, John, real quick, I got to follow back real quick, but
yes.
With the 2020 census, I have some notes here. I think originally in May, it was, we were talking about, and Melissa, I thought I have here that she was involved with it as far as the minority community undercuts involving funding from the government. And then on June 8th, I think we have here that she was going to meet with Ward 2.
Okay.
That 2020 census undercuts will not be appealed. And then she was meeting with Ward 2. That's what I have
in mind. So I could get that on. I'll throw it under future agenda items so we can follow up on it. That's what.
Sounds good.
Section 10, invitation to our county clerk, that's Midwest East Coast, county recorder, to attend our future meeting, and then have and section A, legislative changes. Okay.
I thought we met with her.
Correct. We did at one point, and then I think we're going to like have her back at some point as well, but we did have her. And it'd be, I guess we could still have that be an open invitation or, you know, reach out, see what, you know, she says about attending a meeting again, kind of see what the situation is with the, because it was the legislation regarding, not regulating voting, but, you know, making the rules more strict in terms of procedure and access under the assumption that it would be for secure elections, but you know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we can see what she has to say, if she has an update or anything like that, if she'd like to attend. Bye. Section 11, invitation to Lawrence Walker, City of Tucson Equity Officer, to attend future HRC meeting. I know this is a while ago, so I don't know if our people here from the clerk's office have any, I don't know if that person is still around or if we know if that person is still around. I just wanted to double check and see if that was a current name that's still there.
Yes, she is still with the city.
All right. So, yeah, I think that would be an obvious person that we could still invite to a meeting, since it has to deal with, you know, HRC and the things that we cover as well. And so, member of the city government. So I can extend an invite, or I don't know if it's something that I would send to the clerk's office and the clerk's office would.
That's something that we would take care of on your behalf.
Yes. Okay, cool. So we could use some help with that then.
Yeah, of course. That's what we're here for.
Wonderful. And if there's any questions as to like what we would want to talk about, I think it would probably involve, we can make it related to like a diversity report or just to kind of discuss what the commission does or how we could work together on certain things, whether it's a diversity report or even simpler things to, you know, promoting certain things within the city or within City Hall. So So 12, vacancy and advisory positions. Appoint / removal of non-voting advisory commissioners. I believe that the previous ones from a while back, I think I finally vacant again, but I cannot recall because we had some movement. So, but I want to say there's 4 advisory roles, if I'm not mistaken. And then,
let us look into that.
The roster we have should have it.
So, as of right now, the 4 of you are the only people who are appointed, but let me check into the non-voting advisory commissioners.
Yeah. I think our vacancies on full commission seats would be mayor and then Sachek are the ones I believe. I'm just going off memory. And then the non-voting advisory commissioners are, I don't know if we went through that before, Cedric, but they're basically, it's 4 commissioners, if the procedure is still the same. It would be, you know, the commission appoints up to 4 people. Yeah. We've traditionally had, you know, a student from the university or from Pima kind of hold one of those seats. Because they're, you know, residents of the city, but also, you know, kind of representing the student population, because I know that they're, you know, some of them end up moving on. It's not high turnover, but it's, you know, they're usually there for about a year or two, but they're obviously like working around their school schedules and stuff like that. But there's no real, you know.
So I was able to confirm there are 4 non-voting advisory member vacancies.
Okay.
There's other vacancies in the mayor's office, the Commission on Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Issues, Ward 1, and Ward 6.
Got it. And that actually reminds me, and now I don't know if we would have to, I mean, I know in the past we've usually done it like this, but I do recall... Actually, it doesn't say anything about electing on here, though, or voting. Because I know there's the vacancy, it's not really vacancy, but it's the Commission on Energy, well, I think they changed the name of that, too, now, to more relevant, actually. So it's the LGBTQ plus Commission, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
Okay. So we get the exchange members... And I know that our position to theirs needs to be voted on, but I don't know if that can be done under vacancy or in advisory positions, if we should create like a special section for that in a future agenda, or if that would be fine to do under this one on 12.
We would need to reach out to JLT to make sure that they have someone available who's interested. Otherwise, they won't be able to make a motion.
Okay, so we would need to reach out to them to see if they have someone to recommend before a motion can be made to appoint them. I don't know if they even met in quite a while. They've had the same issue that HRC has had, meeting quorum.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm their HR, well, the HRC's commissioner to their commission. And what I meant was like our commissions, so like my position on their commission. Unless they got rid of that. I don't know if they did. That one, I think, is expired and is just kind of going on as a, as needed until something happens.
Okay. Yeah, we're looking into that right now.
Okay.
But if I remember correctly, it's been a while since they've even been able to meet, so.
That's correct, yeah. And I know, like, the chair at the time, too, didn't want to be chair anymore. And, so I don't know if he's, or they'd be aware of the new changes and that they should be the ones making
for a meeting. Serving on an expired term.
So it looks like you are the HRC member of GLBTQ plus serving under an expired term.
Correct. And usually
like you, they have 4 members currently.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's much less than before. Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, traditionally what we would do is have, so I don't know if the procedure is the same, where the HRC would place a name forward, and then we would vote to have that commissioner be the HRC commissioner to their commission, and go from there. I just don't know if we need a separate item to have that vote happen.
We need to look into it because right now I show him as Ward 3, not John Dalton as Ward 3. So we need to find someone who's able to serve GLBT.
So, but correct me if I'm wrong. Are you asking if you need to vote on putting a member of HRC forward to serve as the HRC liaison, for lack of a better word, on the GLBTQ plus commission? Or am I understanding that wrong?
Yes. Yeah. So there's like a spot, specifically for the HRC to have an appointed commissioner to their commission. And it's always traditionally been a member of our commission that's already serving. And that would fill that slot of HRC. And it doesn't take up one of the wards or anything like that.
So unless are you wanting to continue serving in that position, or are you wanting to be replaced?
I am able to continue and willing to.
Okay.
I just wasn't sure if we are able to vote on that.
So we would have to. You can vote on it on a different meeting as long as it's on the agenda.
Okay.
So if you wanted to, under future agenda items, add that to a future meeting, we could certainly do that. As of this meeting, though, we wouldn't be able to vote on that because it's not agendized.
Correct.
Okay, perfect.
In the meantime, we can research the status of the commission and find out whether they're even meeting and find out other details.
Gotcha. Yep, that makes sense. And, yeah, and just... I don't know who is under the chair or co-chair, vice chair spot on their commission right now. But like I said, their chair at the time wasn't looking to be chair and then was planning to vacate at one of the meetings that didn't meet quorum. So if we even sent anything to them, I don't know if they would respond. But it's possible they would. I'm not sure. I'm just saying, just in case. Keep it in mind.
Okay.
I can move on to 13 special recognition requests. And typically that would be something that like the commission would have. We have a template for like commission recognition, but there's also requests that we would make to the mayor's office for recognition. And I know on here is the 65th anniversary of the Commission on Civil Rights. I believe that's the federal one. And then any requests, and usually it's been either, certain individuals or organizations for their work within. It could be, culture and civil rights, human rights, that realm of area or advocacy that they've done, kind of just recognizing the organizations. We recognized a few church programs at one point that help serve the community in terms of refugee and migrants. And and some other organizations in terms of their service to the community. Focused towards refugees and migrants, but it could also include, advocacy or groups that deal with those types of things that we would cover as HRC. We also recognize some of the work that the consulates have done, such as El Salvador. I think actually El Salvador is the only one that we've recognized, but we've had the intention to recognize Mexico and who was the other one there? We have a Ukrainian honorary consulate here and Guatemala for the others. But in terms of the 65th anniversary of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, I think that's passed by a year or two. So I don't think that one is as relevant. But I would like to, under B, for additional requests, I don't know if we need to vote on that, but it would be like for the additional consulates that have not been recognized yet, who have obviously a lot of work in the with the migrant community and, of course, with relations of their country to our region and area, which would be the consulates of Guatemala, Mexico, and then the honorary consulate of Ukraine, who currently has soldiers and such training at Davis-Monthan on regarding the war in their country. And, of course, they have refugee issues and things that they're facing. And I don't know if any are particular are here. I know some that are, but I'm sure there's many throughout the country as well. So I don't know if that...
You can clarify what you're asking for this. Are you asking for if you need to vote on sending a letter to recognize these organizations, like a letter on behalf of HRC to the mayor, or I'm not clear on
So in the past we've always had like a template of an actual certificate, and it would roughly be like, in recognition of we'll just say like the Consulate of Mexico or something. It is the organization or title part, and then in recognition of your work and contributions towards the Mexican community and citizens of Mexico within the city of Arizona, and what else? Like maybe, recognizing the work between our communities to promote the culture of Mexico in the city of Tucson, and something to that nature. And then it would just be like, with the either the chair, or we have whoever was available at least this was at an in-person meeting, we would kind of sign the certificate and present it. And then the city clerk's office should have some. I mean, we've submitted all the ones that we've done in the past to the clerk's office to be on record, so they would have copies of it. And then on a separate note, there would be some requests that would be separate for the mayor's office for a certificate. Sometimes in the past, it used to take a while. I don't know if it's sped up or not. And we usually, for that, would recognize something more bigger, I guess you could say. So, like, the Ray Davies Fund recipient, which is, they always recognize the Human Relations Commission as part of that at the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona's annual gala thing that they host. And so we would have, you know, a certificate from the city, or from the mayor's office, to present at that event.
Like a proclamation?
It would just basically, it'd be kind of roughly the same thing as what we would do, but from the mayor's office, they have like their own thing, and it just kind of recognizes. It's very, like, generally worried, you know, promoting the values and culture of Tucson, and it would just, you know, be a certificate that would be signed by the mayor. They used to have, like, I don't know if it's still around, but it used to be, like, a generic form that we would just fill out requesting it, and then they would just, you know, let us know when it's ready to be picked up, or they'd mail it.
Well, let me look into that, because I'm not familiar. And being fairly new to HRC, I don't want to misguide you in any way. So let me look into that, see what I can find out.
Yeah, that's fine, because I know there's been, you know, changes here and there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that way, and I can put it on a future agenda, too, just so we can have it. Or agendize, I guess you could say, and while you all are able to check up on if that's still can happen or it's allowed or, you know, but yeah, but hey, traditionally it should be. Yep, go ahead.
Okay, can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Where can we go to find out information about these? These other organizations that you mentioned, John?
Yeah. Well, some of them are just organizations that we've either been aware of or helped with. I know that, what's her name? Raven Gaston, Reverend Raven, she would go by, who was a former commissioner. She was very involved in the, I think it's the Methodist Church. And there's a few churches that are Methodist that had refugee programs with migrants, one of the churches was in near the University of Arizona, like literally like across campus, like next to it. And, you know, they would take care of, I don't remember how many migrants, but there'd be quite a few were Border Patrol or DHS would drop them off after they were processed, and then they would intake these individuals, they, you know, place to sleep, food to eat kind of thing for a week or two before they had moved on to locations around the country that they had were predetermined when they had arrived and on their paperwork, and their ministry would help move them along to those areas once they could figure out what was, you know, kind of settled in for a little bit and kind of like, I guess you could say, caught up on what they needed to do before leaving, and also report, you know, what those, you know, where they would be going and if they had left and such to the proper authorities that requested that info. And so, like, they were recognized, their ministry, that specific ministry was recognized, saying, you know, by from the commission with, like, a certificate commission certificate, and it basically, like as I said, kind of said, you know, in recognition of, again, I don't remember the ministry's name, but their ministry regarding refugees, you know, in support of, say, what is it, you know, being an immigrant or migrant or immigrant welcoming city, you know, with the, you know, and thanking them for their work and recognizing it. And then it was presented at the, one of their church services or something that we, and there was also another one at one of the Protestant churches that they have a specific ministry for Burundian, refugees that are from the Republic of Burundi in Africa. And we recognize them for their work with those refugees within the city and helping them acclimate to the city and providing help for them and services. And so there's been a few others. Like I said, the Consulate General of El Salvador is one of them. And they gave us a tour of the consulate, told us how, you know, how they interact and work with, Homeland Security and Border Patrol, and how that, you know, the intake process works when they deal with someone who's, would be considered like an unauthorized entry, and how they, you know, work with things. And, so we've gotten to do quite a few different things. I know the pandemic put a damper on a lot of it, but also some, but those would be like those certificates. So like, you know, if you knew of some organizations that should be recognized, that's what we would, under this section is where we would kind of, have that done and see if we want, you know, and then you could present like a certificate of recognition. It's not a lot, but, it's something that the commission would do because obviously we don't have like funding or anything like that, other than bringing up issues or topics that needed to be discussed and take action on that. You know, this was more like a good way to outreach to community organizations, agencies, and things that are within the city of Tucson that we can use as a way to interact or bring us to relevancy. And so the certificates were one of those ways of kind of doing that. We would, and so the clerk, city clerk's office knows too, we would type them up, send them, and then, you know, print them, you know, at our home or wherever. It wouldn't be the clerk's office, but we would run it by the clerk's office after it was voted on, such like to make sure it was, there wasn't any weird language in there or something, or using some seal that we're not supposed to use. Usually it would just be the HRC seal alone, not the city seal. And, you know, there's, they gave us some rules to go off of, but again, it's been a while. So whenever you're able to
have that template by chance, would you?
I do. I would have to, I got to search through my, I think it's the drive or whatever.
Okay.
To find it, but
yeah, if you could find it at some point and forward that, we can, that'll at least give us a visual of what we're looking for, and so we can look into it.
Yep. No, definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll
Thank
do that. You. Yep. But I can move on to, if there's, are you good with that, Cedric, on recognition requests?
Sure.
Okay. And then future agenda items. For now, at least, I know that definitely the some of the, I think we could leave most of these things that are on here already. But the for future agenda items would be the formation of subcommittees and how we can make those official, I guess, functioning subcommittees so they can meet. Obviously they can't take any actions, but they can meet and hold their own meeting, whether it be like strategic planning or we you know, the Ray Davies Rosa Parks Fund. You know, those would be some of those examples of subcommittees so they can function as needed, and their quorum level is technically less than, well, we can't have a commission quorum under a subcommittee, but it has to, you know, they have a different threshold that's lower. But that can be discussed then. So that would be one of them, would be subcommittee formation of subcommittees for future, and then also the election of or election or selection, I don't know which wording we'd want to use, or nomination of a HRC commissioner to the Commission on LGBTQ plus issues. Those are the two that I'd be certain to add. I don't know if, Cedric, you have any recommendations or if
I do, so anything in there or something,
but go ahead.
Yeah. So I attended a few months ago, there was this Map and Restrictions Commission. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that. I have to reach back out and get some more info, but that could be something we could add. You know, dealing with the mapping restrictions and how it can kind of affect the current communities and everything like that. So that may be something we could add.
Okay. Yeah. Mapping, and it's a really, is it elections? Is it elections?
I'm sorry. It's not elections related. It's not elections related. It's dealing kind of with, like the discrimination, kind of like redlining, involving like redlining, and things of that nature that occur here in Tucson and the covenants, that, you know, have certain language in the covenants, like, you know, don't sell this property to certain groups or something of that effect, you know, and how, yeah, so. It was pretty interesting, but it's been going on for a couple of years, so I'll just have to follow up with the POC, but I think that could be something we can add for sure.
Okay, yeah, we'll do mapping. That's perfect. I think that'd be relevant. I like that. I think that should be it for now, unless there's anything recommended that I missed, and then, of course, before the next meeting, as long as we know and let the clerk's office know that it could be added to the agenda for the next meeting. But other than that, unless there's no recommendations from the clerk's office for anything that we might need as well, other than those, what is it, two, three things, I think we should be all set with that.
We did send out the public notice statement, so we will need to determine whether we're going to continue to meet as needed or if we're going to go back to the second Wednesday of every month. So maybe that's something we can put on the next agenda to discuss. Maybe just a general HRC housekeeping item where we can talk about that and scheduling going forward.
Yeah, that would be good. Like the HRC scheduling and housekeeping, something like that. Yeah, that'd be good to get that part done and moving forward.
And since it's been so long since you're actually able to meet, it wouldn't hurt to kind of get a feel for where everybody's at.
Perfect. That would be good. Awesome. Anything else?
June, I know you haven't been able to communicate much during the meeting. If you have any suggestions, please feel free to send me and Rick an email so your voice can be heard as well. We lost the video, so I'm not sure if she can hear me, but
she's about.
Oh,
She just took off the camera.
Yep. Alright. And do you think she's typing, or?
Hey, guys, I got a, go.
Oh, yep, we're at adjournment anyway, so, I don't know if we still continue to just adjourn, but, or if we do anything formal after that.
So we can just call it, adjournment at 7:13?
Yep, sounds good.
Thank you,
everybody. It was good to have you all together.
Absolutely. Yep. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'll make sure to respond to our agenda stuff next time. I'm actually in Tbilisi in the Republic of Georgia right now.